know. Was there pleasing anyone? Is that what people like?
Well, I mean, the problem with The Last Jedi, at least from my perspective, is that...
which is shared by no one else.
Exactly, which is shared by no one else. I feel like the things that I didn't like were, and the things that, you know, we talked about, were not things that anybody else was talking about as, like, things that were bad or things they were disappointed in. And so now it's like, I don't trust my viewing experience to line up with anything.
Yeah.
Either, like, critics, which, who trusts film critics? Anyway, not me. Or Star Wars fans, which, if you think about it, Star Wars fans have been our internet experience, like, since the internet was invented.
Yes.
And the fact that I no longer want to engage with Star Wars fans must just be what getting old is like.
I guess so. Well, that's... Star Wars fans are legion now. Like, because there are... Because the original trilogy came out in the 70s, and little kids in the 70s and 80s loved it and have grown up with it and are now getting new content, and then we grew up with the prequels, and now there's just, like, there's, you know, the new trilogy, and then, like, Rogue One and Solo, and, like... Content Palooza, and there's like the cartoons on Cartoon Network, and like there's just
now there's lots of new TV shows.
Yes, like
for Disney.
There's content everywhere, and the audience is everyone, and like we all want something different, I guess. I don't know.
I don't even know what I want from a Star Wars film anymore.
There's no point in trying to ask that question. Like at one point watching the movie today. So, by the way, we are here to discuss The Rise of Skywalker. That's the name, right? The Rise of Skywalker?
That seems right.
As you have gleaned from what we have said so far, like, at least I'll speak for myself, I feel, like, a little emotionally checked out from Star Wars because of the onslaught of, like, chatter on the internet about it. And I don't doubt that, like, had the internet existed in the way it does now, when any of the other ones were made, that it probably would have been the same, but it does feel like we've just reached a critical mass, emphasis on the critical, and maybe also on the mass. But I was, like, a little bit at maximum capacity, and going into this movie was just sort of like, all right, like, I'm kind of glad this is the last one for a while, which I hate feeling kind of jaded about it, because I remember going into The Force Awakens just feeling like, we get more.
Yeah.
Like, how exciting, like, how exciting is it that we just get more? And now I'm just like, I think I need a break.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I do think they released Solo at the wrong time, and part of why it didn't, comparatively, didn't do that well.
You said that earlier.
Because
before we started recording.
It's because everybody was burned out from watching The Last Jedi and arguing about The Last Jedi.
Truly.
Nobody wanted a Star Wars movie right then. Like,
so
not
much
even
arguing.
Us.
Yeah.
And, like, I like Solo. I think that it's that in a couple of years when people revisit it and they're not burned out anymore, they'll, you know, you'll find that it's a perfectly solid film and that Alden Ehrenreich did a fine job.
The nice thing about Solo is it lifts right out of a lot of the controversy with the... And the same thing with Rogue One. Like, they both tether to things that are unchanged and unchangeable, and there's no... They, like, add in detail and tuck in stories in a story that has already been told, and, like, there's not that much to argue about what should happen or what will happen. Whereas this new trilogy, whew, things were changeable after every single movie, and everybody had opinions. And it also divided into two camps of just, like, I feel like there's the camp of people that, I mean, honestly, is it refreshing that it's with two men? That it's pitting, it's people that are in J.J. Abrams' camp, and people that are in
pick your white man.
Johnson. Yeah, basically, pick your white man fighter. And
typically, I don't pick J.J. Abrams for anything.
I don't know. I have no beef with the man. I've not seen everything he's done, but, because I haven't seen, what has he done? He's done the
Star Trek.
I didn't see the new Star Treks.
To be fair, we both watched all of Lost.
Exactly. And Lost will always hold, like, a depraved, wonderful place in my heart. Like, I will not. That'll always just be, like, a special, weird thing that I'll stand by.
This was kind of a fun case of J.J. Abrams playing with his toys, because, like, Dominic Monaghan and Keri Russell have both been in J.J. Abrams' shows.
And Greg Grunberg. I was like, pilot, crashed the plane in Lost. Get out of here.
You had one job and they let you back into the sky.
Kind of. Like, well, yeah, I was just like, this is a little like J.J. Abrams, like, posse, which is, like,
I mean, Scorsese just did that.
Yeah, like, everyone.
He was like, I've assembled my army, and we're going to make a movie.
Exactly. And it'll be better than those Marvel movies.
it was pretty good. It was certainly better than, like, the last three Avengers films.
Mm.
So.
The, so, yeah, I feel like it's been a real, it's been a bicameral, I don't know, pick your juxtaposed opposites.
Because, like, in the grand scheme of filmmakers, they're not that different.
No.
Like, for no. Pete's sake, it's not like somebody gave, even, like, one of the wackier sci-fi filmmakers, like, nobody gave Denis Villeneuve a Star Wars movie.
I'm just trying to imagine the weirdest director. Who's the strangest director to give a Star Wars movie to?
I guess they already let David Lynch make a Star Wars movie, kind of. Dune is basically a Star Wars movie.
Okay.
But I would still like to see him make an actual Star Wars movie.
I feel like...
Or like Jane Campion. Yes. I'm willing this into existence for the new year.
You never know.
This is the news that I want.
Yeah, you never know. Well, and I wonder as well if the third movie had gone to a completely different person that wasn't J.J. Abrams, I feel like that maybe would have not created such a drastic, like, rift between the two polar opposites. If it had been just, like, a third person that was like, and now I'll do my take.
Yeah, I don't actually know why J.J. made two of them. Like, I never bothered to read up on the director switch, because, which speaks to my level of involvement in Star Wars now that I have read comparatively little about any of the mechanics. Like, I don't actually know why. Right. How the fuck is his name pronounced?
I just assume it's Ryan, but I could be wrong.
Sure, Mr. Johnson. This happened the last time, too.
It did, too, and we didn't bother to look it up in 2 years.
I don't know why Mr. Johnson got to make a movie. I don't know why anybody was like, you know what, we'll have one dude make two of them.
Yeah, well, wasn't oh, wait, I could be wrong, wasn't somebody fired?
Colin Trevorrow got fired, I think. Although I saw his name in the credits here, and I don't remember for what.
Well, and J.J. Abrams didn't write it either.
No.
And did Rian Johnson write his? We are maybe unqualified to do this podcast.
I don't think we're any less qualified than the vast majority of casual film viewers.
That is true.
And somewhat more qualified by dint of having watched a lot of Star Wars.
And everyone has shouted their opinions into the internet abyss, and we will calmly articulate them with a lot of waffling. Or at least I will.
I'm going to reference another great film of our time and say that generally I liked it. That's a Moulin Rouge reference for you. You're welcome.
The height of, like...
Gaz should make a Star Wars movie!
Oh my god.
Which, I mean... Yeah.
Yes. Done.
Opera?
Yes.
Emphasis on the opera part of space
Bring
opera.
Nicole Kidman.
Bring Nicole Kidman.
In her, like, heyday renaissance happening right now.
You know what? Why not?
Yes. And then Ewan McGregor can still come. We just want Moulin Rouge in space. This is basically what we want. But that's like, Moulin Rouge, like,
I've ever wanted, actually.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think this would be good. So let's get into, let's disregard the camps, because...
I'm not really in either of them, so I don't have to think about them.
Well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, were you, I'm sitting 5 feet away from a Force Awakens blanket with Rey's face on it.
You also have an Otter Strike Back t-shirt on.
It's true, that's the energy I wanted to bring to the screening today, is just, playful, and, like, it's Star Wars, who cares? They can all be otters, whatever happens, happens. So I think, like, okay, fine, should you have to sort me into a Hogwarts house of directors, this metaphor's going horribly, I would probably be, at least in the Force Awakens camp, in terms of, because there was this, the big debate about, like, well, Force Awakens just rehashed the same stuff, and I want someone to do something new, and then The Last Jedi was like, well, we're gonna try something new, and then the people were like, I liked that he tried something new, and then everyone else is like, why would he do that to a Star Wars?
And as, even still, like, because I think that is, everybody would agree that those are the two majority opinions of The Last Jedi, are, he did something new, and, you know, that's cool, and why would you do the things that he did to that particular property, and I don't agree with either of those.
Also true. And so that is definitely the asterisk next to,
like,
me being
why
in
I
the
had
Force
to totally
Awakens
just
camp.
Not pay attention to anybody's Star Wars opinions post The Last Jedi, because... Even people that I nominally, like, agreed with, I guess, like, weren't nobody seemed to be interested in the things that I'm interested in, as far as those movies go.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I am not unilaterally in favor of rehashing, like, of just doing an echo of whatever happened, the themes of the old trilogy, the characters of the old trilogy. And I'm also, and I am unilaterally against doing something new.
Yeah.
And so, for me, both directors, all three movies, case-by-case basis, there are things that are new that I didn't like, and things that are new that I did, and things that are rehashed that I didn't, and things that are rehashed that I did. I think The Force Awakens, much like The Phantom Menace, and maybe a little much like New Hope, gets off a little bit scot-free because potential is difficult to criticize. Like, payoff is a lot easier to criticize.
Yeah.
And middle movies, I think, are easier to criticize. I mean, I don't know. Star Wars may not be a good example because it's literally the best and the worst. Like, you have Empire Strikes Back, which maybe people at the time were like, that wasn't a happy ending. He's his father? Like, what's happening? He lost a hand? I don't know. And then Attack of the Clones is Attack of the Clones.
And even at the time, not well received.
No.
And even now, when people, I think, you know, are revisiting the prequels.
Still no.
In a more charitable manner, I think it is... I mean, you have to really, really stretch for that one.
You really do. There's that
maybe
one glimmer. I did rewatch it. So I haven't rewatched much of the prequels. I think I was sat down to rewatch Attack of the Clones at one point, and I was horrified at just how... I guess, I don't know, bad. Let's just go with the simplest, most caveman vocabulary. The one glimmer that I was like, that's interesting, let's look at that, was the part where Anakin's like, people should be made to agree with me. And then it turned into, like, a romp in the woods, like, in the forest, in the flowery fields. It was like, and tickle fight! And I was like, no! That was your interesting moment!
Stop rolling around the prairie! This is vulgar.
This is serious. Like, we are talking about the rise of a dictator here! Like, get out of here. So, okay. A tangent. We're diverging here, digressing. So we come to this movie with the understanding that not all new and different things are bad or good, and not all old, quote-unquote, rehashed things are good or bad. Did you like Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker?
Yes, I did.
In caveman primitive vocabulary, as simple as it can be.
Yeah, like, I mean, this has been well established, I think, that I'm not grading Star Wars on good or bad.
No.
Like, it exists in a realm that is not really subject to good and bad.
No.
Some movies, like, hit really well, like Rogue One, which immediately skyrocketed to my top five.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well within the top five. Like, you know, very, very high in top five.
Top three.
And some of them don't land at all.
Mm.
But it's still all Star Wars content.
Yeah.
And you'll never catch me not watching a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But yes, I liked this movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think definitely I enjoyed watching this movie. Admittedly, there were a few things that I was a little bit like, okay, whatever. Like, fine, yes, I will go with you on this journey. Of information, with this information that you've just equipped me with, that, like, would I do if I were in charge of this? Probably not. But, like, does it yield some interesting thing? Sure. Sure. Is it worth it? That's a whole other discussion. Like, but yeah, in general, I enjoyed it. I liked it. And I think, for me, the difference between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, for me, was in where its priorities were and where its focuses were on which characters were getting what kinds of storylines and how much screen time and with whom. And The Last Jedi did not meet those needs for me. Like, I didn't enjoy seeing Rey away from the Resistance. I didn't enjoy that her interaction with Luke was him rebuking her the whole time and, like, never training her. And that in the vacuum of that, like, then just got into, like, Force discussions with Kylo Ren, which is not really what I was interested in either. And we talked about, I mean, you can go back and re-listen to the Last Jedi review. But that's what I truly did appreciate about The Rise of Skywalker is that those configurations were much more to my liking in terms of who had what kind of storyline, what they were doing, who they were with. And it didn't feel like... It felt like the momentum and setup from the first film was carried through more effectively, or was, you know, the torch was passed more effectively. And honestly, I will say, without, like, squandering anything that was done in The Last Jedi, or, like, undoing anything, or, like, crapping all over it, maybe with, like, one exception, but, like, but in general, I didn't think it was, like, somebody threw a car in reverse after going 60 miles an hour. Like, it didn't feel like a huge zig or zag to whatever the opposite was in the first one,
right,
or the middle one.
Like, I mean, even if somebody hated this movie, you can't envy J.J. Abrams having to wrap it up when, like, he started it, and then somebody else took it in several directions that he probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And then he had to, like, figure out how to do something with all of that information and those plot arcs and that character development.
Yeah.
And I think that he did a pretty tight job.
I agree.
Which, not having read any criticism of this.
And we will be hearing none as well.
Having muted every single Star Wars keyword I could think of, and just avoiding Twitter for the last 2 days,
yep.
I don't know why people don't like it. I have real no inclination to find out. The only inkling that critics didn't like it was from a Tom and Lorenzo fashion post from, like, the premiere. Well, they all looked spectacular, of course.
Sure.
And then Tilo were like, and none of them were smiling, because all the critics were, like, angry. I'm like, oh, okay, that's some information that I wasn't really expecting.
And what do people want? Like, what do you want?
It's
a Star War. No. It's like wrapping up a trilogy that, what's done is done. Like, The Force Awakens did one thing, The Last Jedi did another thing. They both had good things in them and, you know, maybe not so great things in them. Like, what is this movie supposed to do? This movie's not going to, like, fix whatever you didn't like about the first one or second one. Like, it's just not. And that's why you wear otters on your shirt when you go to the theater to see it.
I had a Darth Vader Christmas sweater.
Mary Sithmas. That was a good choice also.
I will say that, you know, the part of my lizard brain that loves Lord of the Rings was very pleased to see Rey go to Mordor.
Yes. Truly.
That was pretty cool.
That was a thing that I don't think The Force Awakens did, and we don't have to talk about this movie in the lens of the two that came before it, but it does seem to be the popular playing ground for this. But I feel like The Force Awakens didn't do this so much, but The Last Jedi definitely did, was a lot of, like, world expansion of, like, the mythology of the Jedi and the Sith, which I appreciate on principle. Could there have been more? Could it have been more textured? Probably, yes. Has Star Wars ever really done that? No. So, like, I appreciate the effort. Like, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick and be like, this is awful Lord of the Ringsy. Yes, was I a little bit like, okay, so the Sith, like, have a planet and, like a...
Gross.
Like a,
they're obviously not real into the environment.
Like,
it was real messed up.
Yeah, like a dusty coliseum of goblin supporters. Like, is Sith, like... Because the Jedi are sort of proposed as sort of a spirituality religion analog, and the Sith, I'm like, should I just assume that that's the same for the Sith as well? And I do feel like I probably still have more questions for what they presented to us, but I appreciate that. I appreciate the world building. I think they probably did as much as they could without making it not a Star Wars movie, because Star Wars, for all that it has, I don't know, I mean, maybe that's not true, though, maybe, because there's a very expanded universe, not even just with the books that are the expanded universe books, but, like, I have the, like, Star Wars encyclopedia that's just a list of all the species. Like, Star Wars has always cared about, like, letting you know what the alien species is of a character who's on screen for 5 seconds, and they have a name and a planet and, like, a backstory.
Yes.
So maybe this is, like, the natural progression of, you know, here's more background on who the Jedi are and who the Sith are by contrast, by natural extension of this good versus evil.
Yeah, I guess presumably people might find that corny, but, like, good versus evil is always corny, and it's not realistic.
It is.
Not how, like, the real world works, necessarily, but, you know what you're getting into. It's always been the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force, and they've always been fighting.
Yes.
So, like, I don't know if that's a valid criticism, if anyone is, in fact, lodging it.
And I think, as well, I don't know. I think, as well, I appreciate when Star Wars grounds good versus evil in, like, choices.
Yeah, and that's something that this movie, I thought, did well.
Agreed.
And it did it in a way, you know, it took all the things that people had been arguing about and trying to forecast, like, since The Force Awakens, like, who Rey is, if she's a Skywalker, sure, you can say it's corny for her to be a Palpatine instead, but, like, there's only so many characters.
That's true.
And, you know, something, sure, would I prefer if she was truly, like, a nobody? And, I mean, that, I don't think that this really takes anything away from the idea that anybody can be Force-sensitive. I mean, Han is a Force ghost in this.
Yes.
Han has always been a Force-sensitive. He just also happens to be a himbo.
Same.
It's not his fault.
Well, same with Finn. That was one. I feel like JJ tried to please everybody, and I think he kind of did it.
He, like, probably just about did it. I feel like the only people who really have a leg to stand on are, like, really, really hardcore Kylo Ren fans. But even then, like, if you appreciate a good character arc, that's what you got. I'm sorry.
Truly.
Like, he has the best one, which I don't enjoy giving the best character arc to a dude anytime.
Truly.
But he got it.
Well, that's... I do think... So, rewinding a little bit. Where do I start? A lot came out in that discussion. So many threads. So, okay. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, I guess, which is that, so, surprise, Rey's not just a nobody. She's Emperor Palpatine's granddaughter, which, okay. Exactly. So
he procreated. Maybe.
Exactly. This is when I was reading all of the Cats reviews that are like, this left me. I had to sit in the theater, like, with the understanding that these creatures were on the precipice of an orgy, like a dumpster orgy, I think was the exact phrase. I don't know whose tweet that was. I apologize that I'm just randomly quoting it. Somebody else said it and cracked me up. And I felt that way about learning that Palpatine procreated. I'm just like, he's never been an entity that we've been like, oh yes, like,
nobody's
had a family.
Out here writing Palpatine wife fanfic.
No! I was just like, you can't just do that.
I will say, possibly, and this is what I'm choosing to believe because the alternative, the obvious, you know, alternative of one time Palpatine had sex. No, he didn't.
No.
However, maybe he cloned himself.
Okay, interesting.
That happened in the books a lot.
Okay. Why not?
So that everybody had a clone in the Star Wars expanded universe, and I choose to believe that Rey is some sort of a clone type situation. Because honestly, that is way better than thinking that one of her parents is literally his child.
And then, like, which one? Is it Jodie Comer or the nondescript
brunette? Villanelle does not deserve this. I know she's a serial killer, but she still doesn't deserve it.
Exactly. Yeah, surprise, yeah. Jodie Comer's here also. Not unwelcome, but so, I think you're being more charitable towards it than I am. I think I'm a little crankier about it. I think the only benefit of this is being able to use the word grandpalpy.
He's the grandpalpy.
He's the grandpalpy. But to me, you could have... That's just not my... That's not my preference, like, ever. I mean, I'm the person that, like, in Harry Potter fixated on the fact that, like, Harry was chosen by Voldemort, not a prophecy, and that it could have been Neville. And that has always been my, like, a sticking point for me, is that, like, to me it's just inherently less interesting if it's, like, explained away by, like, blood or, like, magic or...
Or even in, like, in the prequels. Anakin is supposed to be the one who brings balance to the Force. For no real reason. Other than they find some kid who's really good at pod racing. It's like, damn, he's got some midichlorians. That's it. It could have been anyone else who's really good at pod racing.
Yes, this is the thing. And I think, like, we just have to accept that it is one dude and one family that made this whole thing happen. That it was Emperor Palpatine, just one guy, over this whole time, pulling the strings to do whatever he wanted, which I, admittedly, I never, have I, I know, you know, like, the Empire, space Nazis, do they have an agenda? Do they have,
God,
like,
God knows.
Like, I was just like, what does he want other than power? Like, is that,
you know, I was thinking about that, because, you know, when he's, like, trying to, like, tempt Rey into being the Empress, I'm like, what would she be doing?
Yeah, like, of what?
What's her day-to-day like?
what's her date book look like? What's her schedule on Wednesday?
Even, like, when you see the Emperor and he's, like, hooked to this machine that's keeping him alive, I'm like, what does he do when he's not threatening people?
He's just hanging there.
How boring. Like, no wonder you want to die.
Honestly, so, like, okay. If I were in charge, and I haven't thought these thoughts through, but I think that you get all the same mileage of Rey's choice and good versus evil without him being a blood relative. I appreciate, because when they do interact, their dynamic is very abusive parent / grandparent. And the way that he's like, oh yes, like you are, like I want to bequeath you like my name, but the second that she doesn't want it, he's very nasty to her and tells her she's trash, basically. And so that's interesting to me. I'm like, okay, so like, I think it's interesting for her to reckon being from like a bad family and then that not being the decider for who she is. And I get that they do that because then Ben Solo is from a generationally one good, generationally one bad, but also kind of good family. I don't know. I feel like the story has been told that, like, with Luke, that if you are from a bad parent, that you still have a choice to be good. And that is fundamentally interesting. I think that you can still do a choice to be good without Palpatine being Rey's grandfather. To me, I don't know. I'm always in the camp that Rey can be nobody, and it's more interesting for her to be nobody. And, like, the kid at the end of The Last Jedi who's Force-sensitive with the broom, like, also solid. Was I a little annoyed that Rey didn't do anything for a whole movie and that kid got that broom moment? A little. But that's me being selfish and petty, and I am still on board with that whole general concept.
Yeah, I mean, we already had this conversation.
Yes.
In the original films, because yes. Luke has the opportunity to rule the galaxy, either with his father or with the Emperor.
Yeah,
they both make his choice. The same offer, essentially, that he can and does refuse.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the whole, that is, you know, a big part of the point, and, you know, the process, he rehabs someone.
Yes.
So, there wasn't really, like, if that's the only story you can think to tell about, like, darkness and why people choose darkness, then maybe you shouldn't be making Star Wars movies.
I think I've watched so much Good Place. I want Mike Schur to make a Star Wars movie.
Huh.
Because to me, like, am I uninterested in Kylo Ren much of the time? Yes. This is...
I am very interested in Kylo Ren. But not for boning reasons.
It's important to discern.
Well, this is a case where, like, people talk about this character that I like a lot. And it's never from the angle that I'm interested in.
I'm interested in Ben Solo in so much that he is Ben Solo, that he has names that come from other characters that we already know and that we already love and that we inherently care about him. And I am interested in him in to the extent of who his parents are, what he was expected to probably do with his life, and like why that could be challenging for him. That's what I'm interested in about Kylo Ren.
I'm always interested in religious crises.
See, those religious analogies in movies go right over my head, so I'm like, I missed them. So that's definitely, like, where your insight is, like, fleshes out that character, for sure. But side note, one thing I meant to say earlier, when the whole, like, this is just Star Wars, but it's annoying. It's just, like, they just make up rules, where it's just, like, you can just do this now? Like,
oh, well, yes, let's reach through time and space.
Yes. You just do that now? Admittedly, doesn't make for cool, like, they got good use out of it. And I was glad to see that it came back.
It was judicious.
Yes. I was glad that it came back in this movie so that it didn't seem like
it was... Yeah, because, like, honestly, I think, as I recall, one of the things that people really complained about with The Last Jedi was, like, the new Force rules.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's magic! Well, that's, like, it's always been like this.
Well, and that's, so for me, like, yes. Like, when Finn, so that's, I think, the thing that, oh boy, so many thoughts at one time. The thing that J.J. Abrams did was apply liberally, like, to every area, like, the thing, like, so, like, when Finn was like, the Force brought me to Rey. And I was like, cool! Like, the Force can work like that, too. Like, then if it can
the
do
Force
anything...
The Force is for everyone!
Yes, then, like, that fine. And, like, Rey stopping the ship with her hand... Like, sure. Yes, the Force can do that, too.
That was... It started off... That scene starts off cool and then becomes really funny.
Yes.
But not in, like, a bad way, but in, like, they're fighting over a toy way.
Yes, truly.
And then it becomes really disturbing.
Well, and then, and
so,
sometimes...
good progression,
actually. I don't belong in a ship anything, in a ship war, a ship perspective. Like, there's no point. This is not my territory where I belong. But when you say that it's like they're fighting over a toy, like, honestly, I, like, the sibling read on Ben and Rey, like, to me, that's my favorite.
Oh, shit.
I don't want to crush dreams and, like, people, like, and, you know, we're past that. But...
You could probably assume that they're sort of cousins. If apparently there's only one Force family in the whole galaxy.
Truly, which, you know, not about that. But I do really like them as, like, yeah, I think it's funny when they behave like siblings. I think that, like, I don't know. That's a dynamic that I do find interesting, especially because Han and Leia are the parents that she never got to have. And that is something that I'm very strongly attached to and will always want to see more of in Star Wars. And I do feel like this movie delivered that quite nicely. Rules. So the rule where Emperor Palpatine was like, but if you kill me, you become me. And I was like, why? How? Like, you are hanging off tubes right now. What I really wanted her to do, and it's not, and what they did was fine. I mean, if you're gonna do that role to accommodate what they did with, like, I mean, fine. Because that's another role they just made up, was like, oh, you can, like, heal people with the Force. Like, sure, why not? Fine. Is it in any of the 8 other movies? No. Did you bring it in this one? Sure. I promise I'm okay with it.
In hindsight, it is still really weird to me that people were so annoyed about Leia, like, flying through space.
Yeah, come on. Who cares?
One thing, Force stasis is a thing.
In the expanded universe?
In the expanded universe.
I really appreciate how much knowledge of the expanded universe you bring to our conversations.
It's real patchy. You know, if this was...
Not as patchy as mine.
This was 20 years ago, maybe.
But. Yeah. But so, to me, I was like, would a loophole just be if she cut his damn tubes? You're not killing him.
Yeah.
You're slowly killing
him. You don't have to stick around and wait for him
you
to die.
Exactly. Like, you didn't kill him. His own lack of, like, resources killed him.
I do feel like, I feel like probably the chicken-egg scenario here is, you know, at the beginning when she's training and she's trying to, like, get in touch with all the Jedi that came before.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, that's a good image. We have to have a foil for it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what they came up with.
Yeah.
Which I was okay with, because
that's fine.
Effective.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah.
And
like,
I guess it kind of makes sense, you know, if you... Because this was certainly one of the more fantastic space fantasies.
Yeah.
Like, it was very, very magic-y.
Yes.
Which I'm not going to complain about, because I like the Lord of the Rings films.
Sure.
And I like Harry Potter.
Sure.
And any number of other magic properties. But, yeah, the idea that... There's some sort of transferring effect, like, plus, if you kill me, if you strike me down, I will become stronger than you can possibly imagine, like,
yeah,
it's sort of chilling. If you think that literally means that you're going to be possessed by me and 1,000 Sith, that's horrible, actually.
That's a fair point. But yes, then she should definitely have some pause in that moment.
It's a real catch-22.
I feel like I just want to plug a thing that already exists that I have nothing to do with. But some of these themes remind me of Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. And I would say that if you haven't already watched those, but you enjoy these elements of Star Wars and want to see them done better, I would direct you to those two television shows. Because maybe that's what some people really wanted out of The Force Awakens, like, in that... Avatar The Last Airbender was the series about, like, the war in the way that the old trilogy was. And Legend of Korra is a series is about, like, how do you become whole again after that? Like, fast forward 60 years and societally, like, what does your world look like and what is it like to rebuild? Which, for all of Legend of Korra's faults, and it does have a fair few, like, that to me will always be, like, a redeeming quality of it. And I don't know, maybe that's what people wanted from this new trilogy, that, like, moving forward, what is the state of the Jedi, rather than just like, well, there's still only one. Like, we had, like, a problem and didn't go anywhere, and so now we have to do the whole thing again.
Yeah.
But I think thematically, it's interesting for these characters to inherit the problems of their elders. And I think that it creates, like, fallibility in Luke and Han and Leia, that they didn't, like, fix this for the next generation. And I think that's incredibly relevant and incredibly powerful, and I think that it's worth telling a story like that, even if it does give J.J. Abrams and whomever else license to be like, and there's another guy in the shadows, and there's another time where someone has a choice to, like, be really bad, but they choose good. Like, okay, like, fine, that comes with it, because I think in watching the new characters, whom I do really love, and they did such a good job making really lovable, you know, core trio, that, like, I like to see them try to carry the weight of their forebears and keep going and make it better. Which, yeah, it ties into the, I mean, like, I'm everyone who came before me.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably my favorite part of this film.
Yeah.
And that was why the Sith Jedi, like, everyone who's standing behind you, mm-hmm. how do you engage with them? And Lando has a line, you know, about how they did it back then, mm-hmm. and how you do it now, and how it is essentially the same.
Yes.
And it's honestly, yeah, that was a big part of why I liked Rogue One, too.
Yes.
So, because, yeah, it does feel like, you know, all these things that we deal with in the real world, like, mm-hmm. should have already been fixed. But, you know, the moral of humanity is that you don't fix a thing, you have to keep fixing it.
Yes.
It's like laundry.
That went so poignant, and then you pulled it back so quickly.
Well, you can't not do laundry.
It's true.
It's a chore that never ends.
It's true. No, but I wholeheartedly agree that when I was watching it, there were the parts with the rebellion reminded me of Rogue One, and I think that the movie did a good job of identifying what heroism is.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, is it the most subtle depiction of... you know, heroism, or making difficult choices, or, like, continuing to make difficult choices when you would rather just go to sleep?
Yes.
No, but we're in a time where blunt instruments are often needed.
Exactly.
And so I was okay with, you know, the First Order officer being like, I don't know who this Motley Crue is, or just people.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually they are just people.
Yeah, or that they brought, instead of bringing speeders, they brought the
space ponies! This film also has space ponies.
I did so
different type
you.
Of space ponies.
But still counts.
There's two, at least, I guess you can kind of count banthas. They're more like elephants, though.
Mm.
There are at least two separate breeds of space ponies.
Excellent.
In Star Wars canon.
What good news for you.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see Finn being, like, a knight, essentially.
Yes. Well, and that, this movie finally did, I think, did the best by Finn that you can do, given everything that's happened and how much you can do in a movie with one character.
You have to be co-generals!
Yes. Like, yeah, the idea that, like, there was such a, like, shared duty, and that he is fighting in the Resistance, finally. Given that, like, you have a stormtrooper who defects, like, how do you not get to this storyline much sooner than the third of three films? I don't know. So, and the fact that they let him be a hero in Star Wars, you know, world. They let him be in the Resistance and fighting and active and force sensitive, and also meet other stormtrooper people who had, like, all of that was wonderful, and I was so glad.
Everyone gets a family!
Yes. And the idea that, like, you're not alone, that there are other people like you who have faced situations as you and have made the same choices as you, or maybe other people like you who didn't make the same choices as you, a la Rey and Kylo, Ben, Ren, whatever. That there is always opportunity for, like, partnership and working together. which is lovely. And I eat that stuff up. It's cheesy and I don't care.
Yes. Give me all of your collectivist action in space.
Exactly. Exactly. So what else should we talk about? Should we talk about
There's a cool new droid.
There is a cool new droid.
Krista's like, we want to talk about decisions. And I'm like, there's a droid.
There's a droid.
It's real cute.
It's like if the Pixar lamp got real old.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh god, he's so nervous.
He is.
Really related to that droid.
Yes.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. So good. Yeah. I do, I mean, were I to be really cynical and be like, well, what's this year's Porgs? Or like, what's this year's BB-8? But I don't care. Give me all the droids. Give me all the cute animals. I don't care.
I feel like
this
year's Porg and BB-8 combined is probably Baby Yoda, though.
Yes, that's true.
The exported film. TV show.
Exactly.
And the cute Monopoly. Although, Dio, which I like his name because it reminds me of, like, Ronnie James Dio.
Okay.
Who, you don't know who that is.
Nope. Keep going.
That's just a cool name, that's all.
Okay.
But it is pretty cute. That's a good droid.
Yeah.
3PO's droid possession was a little creepy. Unexpected.
Do his eyes have to turn red when he's speaking Sith? Was that, like, to show that he was violating his programming? Like, why? Why did his eyes turn red?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, because I was thinking about what it would be like if Rey were possessed by the spirits of a thousand Sith. And it would probably be like that,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Oh, yeah,
maybe, turn red. Maybe. I guess I just like the, what is it called in Lord of the Rings? The black tongue.
I guess.
You're not supposed to, like, speak it out loud. Very Voldemort-y. Mm-hmm. We're just mixing all the properties now.
Truly. This is very, like, yeah, fantastical. The fantastical elements are really shining through.
I mean, it's still a little bit of a stretch to be like, 3PO literally can't speak this. His programming prevents it. I know how computers work. Kind of. Just make a copy of his hard drive.
Yes. Well, they did sort of loophole, and I'm not mad about this, but they did loophole their way out of, like, actual character peril, where, like, Rey sort of accidentally blew up Chewie, which I was, like, very not happy about when it happened.
I was remembering how he dies in the books, and it was almost the same. Like, he dies, like, in a ship explosion, like, in planet atmosphere, I think.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no! Of all things you can take from the books, you took that?
Exactly. I was like, and why would you make it so that she does it? Like, get out of here. This is not... And, like, yeah. But, and then they undid it. And the same thing with C-3PO. They're like, don't worry. R2-D2 has his memories on a hard drive. Like, okay.
Sure. Even if they are unreliable.
Exactly. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. I don't want to see anyone die. But, like, I don't.
You know, I'm always interested in droid stuff, in part because there's some detail in one of the books about, like, droid rights.
Fascinating.
Which
Solo got into.
And
you know?
Solo got into, yeah, there's a little off-screen droid rights rebellion. I really enjoyed that. But in terms of C-3PO's, like, programming, like, is that true across the board?
I have no idea.
Is it really a case of, like, the Sith are so bad, and the language that they developed for their lore, some runic language, is so inherently evil, which, sidebar, languages can't do that, that, like, anybody who... I mean, obviously we've seen that you can just make a droid if you know how.
Mm.
Anakin made 3PO. Mm. Did Anakin hard-code him to not be able to speak Sith?
Or if, like, any, like, of the parts that ever get it manufactured for droids just are not included with that language.
I have so many questions.
If it's, like...
This is the only thread that I, like, really want to unravel.
How, like, your iPhone can't autocorrect swears.
It does... I have a tendency to spell fucking as F-U-C-K-E-N.
Oh,
and it thinks... Well, I think it thinks it's a name because now it's autocorrecting it to all caps. The way it does with all names now, with, like, the most recent software update, which is really stupid. Like, I don't want to yell my friends' names, believe it or not, if I'm talking to them.
Mm.
Yeah. I do usually want to yell, fucking, though.
That's fair. That's fair.
I guess it could be, like, you know, a Dutch or Norwegian last name.
It probably is. Well, so, that is, I do think, yeah, I guess the Sith probably really did need, I mean, they were just there this whole time as, like, a shadowy stock villain. And I can't, like I said, I can't really fault anyone for thinking, like, you know what? Like, they need to have more information about them. Like, we don't know anything about the Sith. Why are there only two? Like, what's the, like, what is, other than the principle of, like, evil and, like, fear leads to suffering, suffering leads to anger, anger leads to hate, all that stuff. Like, that's really all we got on the Sith, is sort of a blanket evilness. So.
Yeah, and it's honestly kind of too bad, because, like, as you say, what on earth does the First Order want?
Yeah.
I don't have much recollection of what the Empire wanted, sure. But I do remember that it was always a little more, like, bureaucratic,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. You know, they had mining concerns on Cloud City, or they wanted to. You know, there was some sense that they had economic goals.
Sure.
Which is what governments usually have.
Yeah, they need money to make armies.
First Order, I don't know. They look cool. Kind of, depending on where your aesthetics are. And they blow up planets. Like, where do they get the money to develop this sort of weaponry?
Well, that's the thing. Like,
do they have investors?
Well, that's... So, admittedly, like, as a kid, I did not care about the politics of Star Wars. As an adult, I care
Which
a lot about the politics
of Star
Wars.
Considering what the prequels are like.
True, right?
How are we supposed to care about
that? Yes, that is true.
Like, the Trade Federation? I probably think it was really interesting now.
Exactly.
Maybe I should rewatch them.
Yeah. No, I probably will. Because I am interested, and especially as well in the prequels, because Padme is such an embodiment of the governmental and political aspect of that movie, discounting her relationship with Anakin, which sometimes I like to, just to pretend she had something else going on, which she does.
She's the head of state!
Exactly. So, like, I feel
People
passionate.
People are always trying to assassinate her, which is how you know you're important.
Exactly. Like, I feel like now, because of Padme and my, like, appreciation of that non-romantic part of her storyline, I'm like, yes, like, I am really interested in the political aspect, because it also gives credence and weight to the fact that she wasn't just there to be Luke and Leia's mom.
But there was a Senate once upon a time.
Yes. Well, so all of these questions...
And so,
yeah.
That's actually one thing that the prequels did well. They gave you an
Amazing.
Idea of what the galaxy was like prior to the original films, where there's an empire.
Yes. Which, you know...
So you can say, okay, this, you know, this is how democracy dies. Then democracy died, and a fascist empire. I mean, an emperor?
Yeah.
Who crowned you, buddy? I'm assuming you just decided that that was the cool title you were going to take.
Isn't that how that happened in Rome?
Yeah. Historical precedent.
That's all they got. They're not. It's not like it's anything. It's George Lucas.
But, like, now, it's like, alright, so we had the Empire.
Now what?
And then, for some reason, people want to revive it. But
yeah.
Without any of the infrastructure, I guess.
Yeah.
That made
like,
it kind of work.
What's Coruscant like right now? They've blipped right through there when Poe was light speed skipping. That was Coruscant, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah,
I was like, what's Coruscant? Like, what's that like?
What's happening on that?
What's happening on the capital?
That giant city that is also a planet.
The political capital of the entire government that no longer exists. So, like, in that sense,
not out of work politicians.
In that sense, I'm still interested in knowing the story of, like, how do you bring it back to, like, what it was. Like, is Rey gonna start a Jedi Academy? Like, is she gonna call it the Luke and Leia Jedi Academy? Like, probably.
The Luke and Leia Center for little Jedi kids who can't lightsaber well and want to learn to lightsaber well.
Exactly. So, I think I am... Admittedly, it's not, like, a... You know, it's not an action movie story, probably, to do, like, how do you rebuild... Again, this is why you watch Legend of Korra, is because it addresses those issues of, like, what happens in a power vacuum, and, like, not really. That's a question for Star Wars. Maybe that's not a question necessarily in Legend of Korra. But Legend of Korra does a really good job dealing with the political aspects in a way that is still really interesting and compelling for kids, I hope, I assume, because I'm not one. But yeah, I would still be interested in wanting, like, and seeing the future of the Jedi, and, like, can we pull it out of this space where one family is still just, like, one, like, the events of one timeline are still just, like, capitulating, and people are having to deal with them.
Yeah. Jedi for the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. God, I mean,
it's very elite. You know.
That's the other thing that I love. Well, that's one of the other aspects I loved about Legend of Korra that it got off on. But, like, in the first season, Korra is treated very much like a civil servant as the Avatar. And, like, that's what I'm interested in is the Jedi. But, like, not the police. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a way to, like, democratize the concept of Jedi. And, like, what does it look like? Like, how do you... And the fact that some people don't think the Force is real, but then you have to become a believer. Like, I'm just like, what does that society look like in the future? And, like, what role does the Force have to play with it? Role of the Jedi? So I have questions. Time for a new trilogy in, like, 7 years. Don't give it to me now. I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'd be okay with a couple of anthology films, like Rogue One and Solo,
yeah,
here and there.
They left a door wide open for What's-Her-Face. I don't remember her character name. The lady that was with Finn, who was like, I don't know where I'm from.
Janna?
I guess so.
Something with
Anna. I'll look it up on IMDb. I feel badly, I don't know. But Star Wars names, unless there's
usually very difficult.
Monosyllabic.
Yes. Like, for one thing, they don't name the new droid until well in, and I was like, did I already miss it?
I didn't even hear it. I saw it in the credits.
He only has, I think, two letters instead of, you know, some digits as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but so I feel like there's a backdoor pilot for a prestige TV
Lando
show.
And his surrogate daughter.
Exactly.
Go have space adventures.
Exactly.
That would be fine.
I would watch it. Yeah. So, what else? So you said that Kylo Ren got the best arc. Expand.
I think that's defensible.
Defend, please. I'm not offend. That's not necessarily my choice, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I mean, I guess I can see where people who are very invested either in the character or in the Ren-Rey relationship are sad right now.
What more do they want?
Besides But, I mean, I never mind a well-placed character death. Maybe that makes me a dick.
Well, no, I don't think so.
Plus, he went to the Force, and obviously people can just pop up whenever they want to.
That's
because
true.
There was a lot of Force ghost action in this film.
And I choose to believe the sibling dynamic where he'll just annoy the hell out of Rey for the rest of her life. Like, that's what I truly...
Yeah, she now has a flock of Force ghosts who are just going to bother her.
I want him and Luke to annoy the crap out of her by, like, playing pranks, and Han and Leia to be like, oh my god, like, I can't, like, what is, like, why are we like this? I was surprised that they did it. I don't know why. I think it's because I don't think about the character very much. But I was surprised that they did it because he's Luke and Leia's kid. Like,
Han and Leia's
that's
kid.
That's it, sorry.
It's okay. They weren't always siblings.
That's true.
George.
Indeed. Yes. I was just thinking about the Jedi Academy. He's Han and Leia's kid. I don't know. I didn't expect them to kill him necessarily. And they position him as... I mean, he's the foil for the hero, really. Like it or not. And because I'm someone who loves The Good Place, who is like, goodness is a choice. Like, the fact that he pulled himself up over a cliff... And, like,
and
he had
a
broken
babe.
Leg. He did become a sweater babe so quickly. kudos to Adam Driver for, like, it's very easy to tell what his mental state is just by his face. Like, you can, like, know very quickly, like, if he is good or if he's bad. Like, if he's Ben or if he's Kylo. Like, it's very easy. And that's, like, a testament to Adam Driver's face acting.
I think that's why the comic book artists have such a hard time drawing him. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen all the quite bad Kylo Ren comic book art in the world.
No, but that makes me laugh.
They just don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't think how to capture him.
Yeah.
It's usually not good.
Oh, buddy. So, I was surprised. And I don't know if I'm... I think when Rey definitely looked like she was on death's door, I was like, oh. Hell no.
Yeah.
Like, do not.
That would have been...
Do not.
Unforgivable.
Yes. With Ben... I don't know. I don't think he necessarily, like, had to die, narratively speaking. And it... I don't know. And I really was so happy to see him fight so hard to, like, stick by a good choice. And I wish that there was more... context filled in on his relationship with his parents and, like, what went wrong and why he I don't know. I think, like, the concept of good and evil in Jedi and Sith is spelled out in Star Wars in real-world terms of, like, fear and, like, suffering. And, like, watching it from an adult perspective, I'm like, oh, well, choosing to be a Sith is, like, easier in a lot of cases because it makes you more powerful. Like, it makes you not have to deal with the things you don't want to deal with, like, being vulnerable or, like, having to, like, confront something that's really challenging. Like, it's, like, dealing with, like, pain or death or fear, like, any of those negative things. And Star Wars has established that, and I do wish that they... Maybe it's because I don't pay attention to the character closely, and maybe it's, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I don't really remember them fleshing that out with Ben Solo at all. Like, what... Like, with Anakin in the prequels, that was the whole point of the prequels, was, like, fear and pain and leading to him becoming a Sith. And I don't know where... Like, was that there for Ben and I wasn't paying attention?
I thought it was.
Okay, tell me.
Well, like I said, I'm always here for a religious crisis.
Yes.
And he has several of them, from what I can tell. Because, you know, once it's established that he... And I think genuinely, like, he thought Luke was going to kill him because of a prophecy or because of a vision.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
that. I mean,
that.
Yeah, it's a little jarring. It would cause you to make some bad decisions if you're a teenager, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he goes from this god figure who is, you know, a powerful Jedi and the last Jedi. And he's a war hero and, you know, you're told your whole life how great this dude is. And he's teaching you, he's your teacher, your mentor. And then you don't have that anymore. You go and you find the Darth Vader helmet. Handy, a new god.
Yeah.
Love it. Which, can we talk just for a minute about how bad the First Order's security is?
Oh, yes, yes.
They don't have security cameras. Which, at this point in the Star Wars world, you should not be able to just slide into a hangar and kill a bunch of stormtroopers and be able to get out of there.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Like, there should be people watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Panopticon ship, essentially, one would think.
Yes.
Kylo Ren apparently doesn't lock his bedroom. But Rey can just wander in and break all his shit. It's kind of funny, actually.
Oh, boy.
I guess he probably figures everyone else is too scared to go in his room.
Sibling dynamics. That's a hilarious list. Like, I just want sibling shenanigans with those two. I apologize to the shippers. I don't
like
them.
I'm not real invested in the ship either, and I think
it's funny
to have
it's
them as siblings.
Funny. Like, come on. It's funny. Okay,
and
yes.
So, like, this... Anyway, yes, back to the serious stuff. Mm. Aside from Kylo Ren's... You need to get a lock for his door. Or, like, put the thing in a case?
Yeah.
Or something?
It's, like, hanging out.
It's just, like, on a little pedestal that he occasionally touches it. It's a little weird. I don't know.
Exactly.
His relationship with the helmet has always been
put
weird.
It under glass, bucko.
So, you know, the helmet betrays him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was something that I liked in The Force Awakens. I guess this must have been in The Force Awakens, or maybe it was in Last Jedi. I don't remember what film
this was. I feel like
it was
probably in Last Jedi, because that might explain why I don't remember.
Any scene of him communing with Vader's helmet, it's like, yeah, that's very familiar to anybody who's been religious ever, and who is having some sort of a loss of what the thing that you think that you believe in. And ultimately, in this film... You know, the third of his god figures, I guess, is his father. And that's the one that works. Which, if you have daddy issues, who doesn't?
Sure.
It's also effective.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. I mean, after that, I mean, that's his turning point. It's like, he faces his father, whom he has killed, and says, you know, obviously he can't, like, apologize. But does Ghost Han expect him to? No. And being able to admit that, like, obviously, yeah, you can't apologize for murdering your parent. But most people also don't, I think, come back from that in any sense. And so for him to say something that seems, like, really simple, which is, I know what the choice that I, you know, that's in front of me, and I know what I should do, and I don't know if I can do it. And then, you know, he does it, and he goes back. And, like, he's Ben again. And I've never been, one of those people who, like, calls him Ben Solo. I think people should be called what they want to be called.
Sure.
And for a long time, he wanted to be Kylo.
Sure.
And, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I think that he got the most cohesive character arc.
Okay, that's fair. I do like as well, or I did like as well in the movie that Han, like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but I think the way I've remembered it is, like, along the lines of, like, how can I make this right, or, like, how can I, that, like, Leia's gone, but, like, the thing she lived her entire life for is not gone, and, like, that's the good work that you can do, is, like, invest, which, I mean, Rey's part of that, and I don't, that, like, to me it would have been cool also to, I don't know, again, for Kylo to be like a Zuko, and, like, show up with the gang and be like, hey guys, I'm here with the Resistance to, like, help? Question mark? But that's, like, we're past that, there's no more time for that, I should just go watch Avatar and not try and project all of my expectations onto Star Wars. But I did like that about his, like, redemption, and I maybe redemption's not even a good word for it, because it is very loaded.
Yeah, I guess it's been bandied a lot, and I guess that's probably where most people's consternation with this movie apparently comes from,
mm-hmm.
is what you think redemption means, and how you would personally write Ooh. That character.
Ooh.
Which, sure, you can write as much fanfic as you want, maybe you'll get lucky, you can write as much licensed fiction as you want to.
Mm.
But I don't know if it is really the most useful word, because it's not something that, it's not just like fixing your society.
Yeah.
Like in most cases, it doesn't end.
It's too loaded.
You've done something like kill your father.
Well, and I think that's the thing that when Han is like, you can do this work. Like, neither of your parents are here anymore. Luke isn't here anymore. Like, the people that came before you are no longer here anymore, but their work is still here. And like, you can...
Yeah, and, like, their conversation isn't about Rey.
Mm-mm.
It's about Leia in
yeah.
some way, and it's about the fact that, yeah, it would really suck to see your kid trying to destroy what your wife is doing.
Yeah.
Like, for the entirety of their lives.
Yeah.
And if you want to get real nitty-gritty to the point of, like, splitting the atom,
mm-hmm.
and if you are now subscribing to New Force Rules...
Love a New Force Rule. NFR.
You could probably argue that if your choice is, you know, do I use my force power to save myself after being crushed in a rock fall, I assume, being flung into the ether by force energy and then having, like, a cavern come down on you.
Mm.
Or you can save somebody else who is probably more equipped to do the important work.
She's got a better track record so far than
she has. A way better track record.
She has killed no parental figures.
Then that's the choice that he makes.
Not even the bad one.
Not even the bad one.
Yes. I do. I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. And I had something else to say that I forgot.
Is it about New Force Rules, which
maybe
sounds like a 90s hip-hop beat, and I'm into it.
Love it. No, I don't think it was about New Force Rules. Was it about Han? Was it about... I guess... So, walk me through this here, make sure I understand. We'll put a pin in that, because I remember. I remember in The Force Awakens, as soon as Kylo Ren stuck his lightsaber in his father, I was like, whoa! Like, you can't come back from patricide.
Right.
But, and I was like, it's either, and, because with the villain that is Han and Leia's kid, like, I think my brain immediately was doing the sort of black and white thing of, like, it's either redeem or revenge. Redeem or revenge. Like, Rey will either redeem him or revenge.
Han.
Yes.
Yeah.
Revenge, yes. You get what I'm saying. Poorly. And I think... throughout the rest of The Force Awakens and throughout The Last Jedi, I was still just like, revenge! Like, you can't come back from patricide! You can't. But I think, I do appreciate that this movie, like, at the end of the day, at the end of the trilogy, at the end of this story, I don't think you can't not redeem, quote-unquote. And I think I like not couching it in that language, and I like having a more nuanced take on it. And I guess as well, that sort of leads to my next thought to riddle out to make sure I understand correctly. Leia gets through to him with the new force rules.
Yeah.
No words for that? Just like a feeling? just like, and I'm okay, like, you know what, I'm yeah. okay with that, like, again, a motherly love thing, like, sure.
Like, and I don't envy the scriptwriters for having to write Leia's death in, because it was never going to be, like, satisfying.
Yeah.
Or useful, because
yeah. it's Carrie necessitated. Fisher died. Yes, like,
like, that's a fact.
Yes.
So I think they did the best they could do.
Yeah.
And, sure, I mean, there's a lot of impressions, as we would say in the church, in this film. Mm-hmm. Like, Finn has an impression about where the signal is coming from and what ship they need to destroy. Why not?
There's the new Force rules, baby!
New Force rules!
Well, and I appreciate, like, you could argue, because I, again, this is not where my focus is, so the immediate things don't, like, hit me. Like, I don't think I had, when I first watched it, I didn't couch Kylo Ren's death as, like, a sacrifice of, like, him giving his life force to Rey to carry the torch.
I mean, that is probably just me reading into it.
I don't
and
think
even
so.
Not really necessarily, because, like, I thought it is, I think it's satisfying without that.
I think that's okay. Well, no, that's an interesting interpretation. I'm not, I think that is, could be completely valid. Not could be, is completely valid and could be completely true. Like, I think it's all there. And I think it's interesting as well if you take it to sort of mean, like, Leia doing for Kylo, like, she gave up her life energy for him, and then he gave up his life energy for Rey. And I feel like that lineage, like, that all tracks.
Yeah, especially since the Emperor, like, the whole life force thing is now, like, on the screen established.
We just
the Emperor
have to do
just sucks their
yeah.
life force out of them.
Sure. Again, this is just like a sure. Okay.
Why not?
We're just gonna do that now. Yes. That I feel like there had to have been a dozen things in this movie that we just sort of like, okay, we're just gonna do that now.
Lots of energy transference, both literally and metaphorically.
Sure.
That seems to be the theme. And I guess if, you know, if you take the overall idea of energy transference to be the theme of the film, then mm. it's carried through in multiple ways. And yeah, sure, that is, insofar as anybody who is our age and who is progressive-minded has forebears of, like, this is how the Nazis were defeated
mm.
in the 40s by people who are related to us.
Mm.
And this is what we need to do in order to make sure that there is a future
mm-hmm.
for our friends who have kids.
Exactly.
I don't, but I care about children.
Exactly.
In the cultural
exactly.
society sense.
Yes, this is a general future of the young ones.
Do it for the younglings.
Exactly.
They deserved better.
The younglings.
Back then.
Exactly.
Certainly now.
Exactly.
Then, yeah, I mean, you can use it as a metaphor, too, and say that
mm-hmm.
the power of the Sith is behind you, you know, if you choose that, if the power of the Jedi is behind you, and you can access them. And you can also use it in a literal sense, to suck life force out of people and make yourself young and glowing again.
Sure. Oh, Palpy. Oh, you. Who knew that he was gonna be the thing over the whole, like,
do I
all
want this?
All nine?
Not really.
Same.
Am I okay with it? Mostly.
Yeah, that full same. I'm just like, I didn't care. Like, I don't.
He was never the most interesting character in the old trilogy anyway. He was
no.
never, I mean, you could say that in terms of brute force, he's more threatening than Vader, but he doesn't have any emotional hook the way Vader does.
Yeah, well, and that's, I'm
they
wondering.
Probably had to give him one in the form of Rey, in this case, to really make that land.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, it's just like, well, if he has to be kind of a stock villain in order for everyone else to be really interesting, then, like, so be it. Don't
yeah.
make a new character. Don't do that to a new
right.
character.
Like, Snoke
just
was bad enough,
yeah.
and I'm assuming that Snoke is, in fact, a clone.
Oh.
Because, like, in this film, the Emperor says that he made Snoke,
mm.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or created
oh,
him.
I thought he meant, like,
and, like,
metaphorically.
That could be a metaphor of, like, you
like
know,
Regina George. I practically invented her.
Exactly. Emperor and Snoke are, yeah, the Regina George and Katie Heron.
The Sith are just the plastics.
That's kind of true. I mean, the Knights of Ren are basically just, like, a
mm-hmm.
clique
yeah.
of, I guess, people Kylo Ren hangs out with.
And I mean, it's
and they
the
all
same.
Have a real cohesive aesthetic and some cool weapons, and that was a good, pretty striking shot of him in his sweater.
Mm-hmm.
When you have nothing but a sweater,
mm-hmm.
and your boy's getting up on you. Oh my god.
Well, that's one thing as well, that when you were talking about, like, not, I don't know, like, with Kylo having killed his dad, But I also, I do, again, I think JJ was just out here just being like, I'ma please everybody and we'll figure out a way to make all the dots connect. Is that, like, Rey still stabbed Kylo Ren at one point.
She sure did.
She sure did. And
I almost feel like that was a, I mean, obviously it was a power move. It's always gonna be a power move to stab somebody with a lightsaber.
Mm.
But it was an ultra power move because she was, then is like, I'ma heal you.
Exactly. She's just like,
and then I'm gonna walk away.
Exactly. So good. That did bring me joy. And I guess she, it's the, his moment of vulnerability when Leia does her thing. So, like, you know, yeah. It all, like.
I think it flowed okay.
I think, yeah, exactly. And most I'm like, you know what? Defend. It's good that she stabbed him. Like.
It was satisfying.
Exactly. For all the crap that he's done in the first two movies, like, he needs to get a little stabbing of his own, frankly.
He has a cool scar for a minute.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. 1 minute. And then he just has, like, a really weird hole in his sweater after that because it's, like, not there anymore. There was, like, one really medium shot. Yeah, where it was, he was standing there looking pensive, and I was like, all I can see is the stupid hole in his sweater.
They needed to remind us of his very insane torso.
Truly. It's just like, hey, you guys.
Reason to, like, although, frankly, the hole could have been bigger. It could have been a Natalie Portman in Attack of the Clones scenario where suddenly her entire midriff is exposed.
Exactly. Why not?
They could have given him a crop top. He could have been a boy in a crop top.
There's no need. There was no need to not
do
that.
I really missed out.
Yeah. Seriously.
He could have joined Kid Cudi and Apollo Creed and the rest of the Legion. Will Smith as the Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
So many great boys in crop tops.
Mm-hmm.
She could have just sliced away the entire bottom half of his sweater. She didn't. That is true restraint.
A clean stab. What else? How do you feel about... I'm just gonna pick all the controversial things. How do you feel about Rey just being like, I'm Rey Skywalker now, bitches?
That's fine.
It's at the end. Who cares?
I mean, the movie was called that.
Mm.
And so it was either gonna be, she's literally a Skywalker, which wasn't going to happen.
Mm.
Or... yeah, you get to call yourself what you want.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how her Ben Solo came with Kylo Ren.
That's true. She's like, at least mine makes sense. Again, siblings. Siblings. Come on.
At least mine makes sense.
I'm gonna bang that drum.
I mean, I think it was necessary? Would I have done that myself if I were writing it?
Sure. No. Yeah, probably not.
I wouldn't have. Because, again, the Force is bigger than one family.
Yes.
So, like, you know, if all of your mentors are dead... kind of tragically, and you want to keep their name, like, that's fine. I certainly don't get the impression she's gonna have kids anytime soon.
No.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe it will die with her.
And also, like, where do you end the story?
Put it on a building.
Exactly. The Jedi Academy. Skywalker, but then, like, an asterisk. Like, you need to learn the history, you guys, before we, like, really go, like... They need, like, a museum exhibit, not, like, a statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, where else are you gonna end it? Oh, how about Leia just having a lightsaber? Just being like, well, that was Leia's lightsaber from when she was training. And then she was like, I'm not gonna train anymore.
That's fine.
I mean...
it's gonna be my response to all of these. None of it is problematic to me.
Plus,
in the books, like, she does... Mm-hmm. Luke does train her.
Well, that's the thing, is I was like, finally, like...
I've always wanted this.
Yes.
Literally always.
Yes.
This is absolutely fine.
Exactly. And until you gave me this, I was clinging to Rey as the, like, Leia stand-in who has a lightsaber.
I think everybody who is a Star Wars fan has always wanted proof that Leia trained as a Jedi.
Yes. Absolutely. So, yes, and I was more than okay with that. And, yes, is it a shame that... I mean, you know, universally, it is a shame that Carrie Fisher passed. And definitely... the timing of it with this movie, like, and this movie was supposed to be hers, and I think that, like, it still is in as much as it could have been.
Yeah.
And I, like, it made me so happy that the beginning of it was just Rey training with Leia. Made me, like, inordinately happy.
Yeah, like, who set up this training course? Leia did!
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't Luke, he was being grumpy for a decade.
Oh, God, he really was so grumpy. Yeah. Yeah, given everything, given Luke's mistake with Kylo and, like, the mistake, and he admitted to being wrong in this movie about hiding away with the Porgs in Iceland forever.
As somebody who was not really very charmed by the Porgs, I'm like, he really hung out with the Porgs for that long. He wasn't annoyed by them. He didn't, like, think about eating them at any point.
He did, didn't he? I feel like he must have eaten them.
Roast Porg.
Exactly. When you consider that, like, then the trilogy really does kind of become Leia's. Not that the measure of anything should be based on, like, how wrong or not wrong or how many mistakes someone made, but that, like, Leia was kind of the soul of this new trilogy. Which feels right. Feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah. And Space Mom is real happy about it. She's just looking down at it all and making fun of the CGI, probably.
Maybe now we can have a break from, euthanizing. Oh, that's not the right word.
No. Utilitizing.
Utilizing.
There we go.
Actors. Which, I mean, it was brief enough, and there was enough, like, lighting stuff going on in that scene where I was like, I'm not super bothered by this.
Exactly. And in a way, it's... Again, it was necessary. Like, we don't... In order to tell that story... And because we're in the saga, you know, that's 40 years in the making, like, it is what it is. And it makes me laugh now to think about how cranky everyone was that they put Hayden Christensen digitally into Return of the Jedi.
That was a huge scandal.
It was, and now it's just like, what gives? Like, who cares?
Yeah, no, I'm not mad about it anymore. Yeah. I remember being annoyed at the time.
Yeah, me too.
And now...
Just got caught up in the...
No, that's fine.
In the rancor. That's the thing. That's
truly, I'm getting old.
I was about to say, these are our across the board Star Wars opinions now. It's just like, it's fine. It's fine, sure. New Force rules, whatever. Anything goes.
New Force rules. One thing I would have liked to see was Rey making her lightsaber.
Yes.
I always want to see people making their lightsaber.
Yes. Yes.
But
I choose to believe that it's a double bladed lightsaber. I think that, I'd like to think that JJ supported me in. Not fully. Again, I think he was pleasing everybody. She didn't illuminate the second half, but the hilt of the lightsaber was at the bottom. You couldn't really see the other half of the bottom of frame.
It was constructed in a way that seemed to suggest that it could be double-bladed.
Mm-hmm. I choose to believe it was double-bladed because she had a staff her whole life. Like, come on.
She knows how to use a weapon that has that sort of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And Darth Maul is not a cool enough character.
Solo begs to differ.
To be... Oh my god. I forgot about that somehow. The minute I said his name, I was like, wait a sec, was he in The Last Jedi?
He was in Solo.
Why am I thinking about him? No, he was in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's not nearly interesting enough to be the only character who gets a double-bladed lightsaber.
No. And it should be proof, like, that, like, there should be a Jedi with a double lightsaber.
Yeah, this unnecessary breakdown between Jedi and Sith lightsabers. Like, why are they getting all the cool looking ones?
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, Kylo's is kind of stupid.
It is stupid. I love how stupid his lightsaber is.
I mean, it has visual clout, but it's not actually that smart.
No.
Which.
It sums it up.
Kind of sums it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, like,
I love
the
boy,
that...
but, like, he goes in for looking cool about making smart decisions.
Yeah.
Often and always.
Yes. Well, and then, like, the fact that Leia... I like that Leia's hilt was distinct looking, but then I was like, Leia's lightsaber is blue also? Like, okay. I mean, it's a personal preference. I always liked Luke's green lightsaber.
Yeah.
Personally.
And I know it has to do with, like, the type of crystal that's used, and Rey's is yellow, which is pretty tight.
That is pretty tight.
I mean, back in the day, again, it was very cool when Mace Windu got a purple-bladed lightsaber.
It is funny how much, like, blew our mind in, like, 2002.
Things that were extremely impressive when you're 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The first Black Jedi was gonna have a purple lightsaber. Like, that was inevitable.
Yes.
There wasn't anything else it could have been.
No.
Except maybe, like black, which would also be really cool.
That would be very cool.
But it probably would have looked, like, evil at the time.
Yes.
I don't remember what they established the Sith use as crystals in theirs, that they're always red. Rather than that red is evil.
Stereotypes.
Yep.
The stereotype crystal. Yes, there was a bunch of... There was something in the movie, and it was, like... Something was, like, red or had, like, and I was like, oh, it must be evil. That's how I know it's evil. It's red.
Speaking of extra evil things, Kylo Ren's helmet, when it was being fixed, I was like, oh, yeah, obviously you weren't going to just get a new one. You weren't going to fix it in such a way, which you probably have the capacity to where it looks seamless,
mm-hmm.
you were going to highlight the fact that it was shattered in red, which kind of reminded me of kintsugi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that practice, mm-hmm. That like Japanese thing where they fix things that have been broken with like gold
mm-hmm.
so that you notice it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it becomes like part of the bowl or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
Brilliant. I love you. My son. Look at him. He's horrible. He did that thing that he wants you to think about this.
Oh.
Which makes perfect sense for the character. Like, of course he was going to do that.
Yeah.
He's probably thinking about Vader's helmet the whole time.
Oh, buddy. Oh, pal.
Find a new theme, child.
Seriously. Yeah. Do you think... That's the thing that, like... That's the thing that kind of makes... I don't know. Not the... In the fact, in him dying, like, I would, like, again, I would want to see, like, what's his second act? Like, what is the next part of his life going to look like? Like,
yeah,
it's more...
Nice to see what he would become.
Exactly. Like, I think that's a little more interesting. But that's just me, and,
I would have been happy with either.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm not, like, the person to ask on, like, what's best for Kylo Ren's character arc, because my reception on it has been spotty this whole time. yeah. Another thing that, like, kind of bummed me out was how little Rose Tico there was.
Yeah.
Which is such
sadly
a...
underused. I mean, what there was of her was great, but, like, there could have been more.
Which...
And it's, like, the film lampshaded it. It has been to ask her, like, you know, you sure you're not coming with us? I'm like, wait, is there any good reason why she shouldn't?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, that's like, and it leaves a bitter taste in my mouth just because of all the backlash, and you get the idea that it was done because of the fan bullshit that happened after The Last Jedi, which, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but it's super frustrating, and like, I really wanted to see, like, Rose Tico was one of the things that I really liked about Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Her hair was unfortunate, but a lot of ladies' hair in Star Wars is unfortunate. And,
it's
like...
Just, if you're a lady in Star Wars, you're probably gonna have...
You're gonna get weird
some
hair.
Ill-advised hair.
Exactly. Like, George Lucas is gonna make a dumb decision about what goes on your head.
George Lucas is no longer allowed to make dumb decisions about space bras, so
he has
subverted all of his energy onto hair.
Exactly. So, like, Paige Tico and Rose Tico were, like, fantastic in... The Last Jedi.
Honestly, they set the bar really high really early in that film.
Yeah.
That's one of the best parts in the movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's a shame because, like, Paige Tico is... I don't know why I have to say her full name, but I do.
Sounds cool.
Exactly. She was part of, like, she's... That, in that movie, was the part of the rebellion and the resistance that carries through in this movie that we talked about. That, like, the people that came before you who made the sacrifices and making that all very real. Like, that applied to Rose... through Paige, and, like, the fact that, like, it didn't really... Mm-hmm.
She didn't have enough ego.
Yeah. Which, like, bummed me out. And, like, yeah, it bummed me out. And I don't, like, would it have been just as, like, would she have gone with them? Would it be better to have a storyline with her back at the base, or with Leia? Like, which, not really with Leia, because I don't have that much footage of Carrie Fisher, but, like, I don't know exactly what the right answer would be, but it would be nice to see her more.
Yeah, just more.
More. It's the least Kelly Marie Tran deserves.
It's the
least we can do.
It's honestly kind of weird to think about Star Wars fandom now. Because, like we were talking about, you know, when the prequels were coming out, people were really quite vicious to Hayden Christensen
mm-hmm.
and to Jake Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, even though we were all online
mm-hmm.
already, we didn't have quite the breadth that we have now.
Yeah.
Social media wasn't what it is now. And, yeah, I mean, thinking about it, most of our earliest online experiences were in the context of Star Wars. They were on those forums.
Mm-hmm.
Aura?
Sure. Shout out to the Star Wars message board circa 2002. If you were there, you know.
You know. But it seems so much worse now.
Yeah.
In terms of how people react to actors and what people demand from movies.
Mm.
And like, maybe I'm just lucky in that I have yet to be very disappointed by a Star Wars film, like, in my soul. But I'd like to think that even if I were, I wouldn't turn into a really horrible person.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, I mean, when you said I haven't been disappointed by a Star Wars film, my first thought was like, I'm still not happy that Luke didn't ever train Rey in The Last Jedi. Like, yeah. I think that's the thing that boiled, like...
I will say that film, because, I mean, sure, you can say that objectively Attack of the Clones is the worst. I think
objectively with that, yes.
But we were, what, 15 when that came out?
Yeah.
I didn't have the critical faculties to be super disappointed in the moment by that movie.
Yeah, and then to be like, Ellen, and also,
and
like,
then to, like, carry it out on in some way, and, like, you
well,
know,
send
hate, it's just
it's,
hate mail.
It's not,
like,
it's like,
you know.
It doesn't matter, like, you can be disappointed all you want, like, but, like, channel that energy somewhere else, like, don't be vicious to the creators, but definitely not to the people who are just doing their job and excited to be a part of, like, the biggest franchise. That,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that, yeah, we can all probably calm down.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if now, like, just the cultural vacuum in which these films are coming out is just affecting it really badly, because, and this was also, again, true with the first two, in that the things that people latched onto and wanted to talk about, like, just weren't the things that I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And even... for the character of Kylo Ren. Like, yeah, I think he's really interesting. I like watching him on film. I think he had a good arc. It was personally satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the way that I've ever seen anyone else discuss, which is not because I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know why even people who have criticisms of The Last Jedi, like, they're not the criticisms that I have.
Yeah.
And so it almost becomes, yeah, it's, I don't discuss this on Twitter. I don't talk about Star Wars with anybody but you.
Mm.
Which is kind of weird to think about, because when I was a teenager, I talked about it with lots of people that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And nobody ever, like, attacked me for any of my probably stupid opinions because I was 14.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has good opinions when they're 14.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I don't want to talk about this thing that has been part of my life since I was a kid. And I don't understand quite what the mechanism is that makes people so vicious about these particular movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's depressing.
It is. Yeah, it's interesting to think about that, like...
And I don't want to be lumped in with people with really bad criticisms of The Last Jedi, because there are a lot of really bad opinions about why people didn't like it, or why, you know, it's not a good film.
Yeah.
And I refuse to be in that camp.
Yeah.
Just why I don't have a camp.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I don't, it's weird, it's, I don't know, like, feeling like this franchise owes you something.
Or, you know, broadly, this is something that's observed, I think, in lots of fandoms, is feeling like you have to defend, or you have to find a good reason for why you didn't like something.
Mm.
Some sort of, like, morally dependent, you know, it's just like you can't just, like, groove with something or not groove with it
sure.
anymore. Like, you have to be right.
Mm-hmm. You have to,
like,
write a personal essay.
I'm okay with not being right about a movie.
the mentality that, like, yeah, you're arguing, like, I don't know, just like, who has the time and energy to argue on the internet about anything?
No, not me anymore, for
nope.
sure.
Not me either.
Those days are behind me.
So if you disagree with us, don't tell us, because we're not going to care.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all fine.
It is all fine. We're in a very zen Star Wars state right now. Any last thoughts on anything happening in the movie? Lando?
We agreed that Carrie Russell's character
looks
like a Power Ranger.
Yes.
But that is not a ding.
No, it's not a ding. And neither is the fact that she's so Carrie Russell. Like... putting Carrie Russell in a Star Wars movie is just like, well, you just put Carrie Russell in a Star Wars movie. Like, she's got the most distinct voice. You only ever see her eyes, which is like, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, like, you know it's her the whole time.
Yeah, can't not be her.
Yeah, she was an interesting inclusion. I'm okay with that. Like, because you're always going to bring in new characters, but at this point it's so overstuffed that, like, bringing in somebody and expecting to spend a lot of time with them is just not very practical.
Yeah, I feel like the flip side of... the Carrie Russell character is the Dominic Monaghan character.
Yeah.
Who has way too much screen time.
Why are you here?
For no reason.
Why are you
here? Like, give all his lines to Rose Tico.
Exactly. He had just as many lines as Rose Tico. And I love Dominic Monaghan. Like, I have no...
He's been in two things that I feel deeply about.
Exactly. Like, he can... I, you know. And when I first saw him, I was like, oh, hey, why are you here? But then he kept being there, and I was like, why are you still here?
Yeah, usually if there's, like, a celeb cameo in a Star Wars movie, you see them once.
It's a blip.
Like, you didn't even see Billy Lord as much as him in this movie.
Yeah. Yes!
So, it seemed odd.
It does seem odd.
Like, I don't, to the point where I'm like, shit, was he in the last one? I just forgot. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But I don't know, and he was in this one so much that, like, comparatively, you know, considering he's not a main character and he has not been previously introduced.
Yeah.
Like, like, I'm starting to resent this, buddy.
And he just sounds exactly like Dominic Monaghan. He's, like, not really acting. It's just Dominic Monaghan in Star Wars.
It's just Dominic Monaghan in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless. But yeah, the inclusion of Kerry Russell was interesting, and I was glad as well, another loophole where you think they killed somebody, and then they're like, JK, they didn't die. It's we okay. haven't explained how.
Nobody
but they
dies except
die.
For, like, two fairly important characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of them because we couldn't avoid it.
Exactly. I appreciate the fact that they didn't, like, I don't know, try and, like, add the, like, up the death count just for the sake of being, like, it's the biggest, most, like the whole thing that, I think Lost kind of started, where it was just, like, you can't make good television unless someone dies. And it's like,
your favorite characters aren't safe, which is...
Yes, oh, get out of here.
The creator attitude I really don't have any time for.
No, me neither. No, I was happy that, and I was happy that she came back, and, like, I think she was a really effective... Given the little screen time that she had. I really liked that, except for the one kiss, there was not really any romance in this movie.
Nope. I mean, it's implied that Poe got laid, but we always knew that.
Exactly. He was like, it's implicit in Oscar Isaac's face. Like,
and I thought that it was funny at the end where he was like, you want to have a celebratory hookup? And Kerry Russell's like, no. Actually, I still haven't forgiven you just because I made the right choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of you.
Yeah.
It was for the galaxy.
Yeah. I like that there was, hints and, like, you know, it was like a fun time, but that there was not really an arc that hinged on romance. I appreciated that. Because no one has time. I think that's what I would think if there was, like, a romance storyline. I would be like, who has time? There is a resistance going on.
We all have real concerns.
Exactly.
Yeah, there wasn't really any time for kissing.
Mm-mm. No. We have things to do.
Unless someone is going to die.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was well edited.
Yeah.
We were talking about the length, which has
a Star Wars movie.
Action film runtime, but it didn't seem like there were scenes that didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
So. Just that a lot was happening.
Yeah. A lot goes on in these Star Wars movies, especially the thirds of three.
Yeah. You have to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody gets theirs.
Yeah.
Which I feel like everyone did. Insofar as everyone can.
Exactly. So, it's time for the ranking.
Yes, we have to re-rank.
Obviously.
This is a new Star Wars movie.
After we go on and on about how everything is fine and every movie is valid in different ways and we like certain things, now we're going to get really quantitative and rank them. God, how many are there now? Are we including Solo?
There's three whole trilogies and two anthology films.
11. Okay. All right, we can do this. This can't be
as difficult.
See, they
can't make any more. 11 is the perfect number. It's nice and round.
Yes. All right.
I know it's not going to stop anybody.
Okay.
You know, symmetry has never stopped anyone.
No. Mm-mm. It's only made them stronger. All right, let's think.
Empire is still number one. I think that will probably never change.
It does. It feels wrong to change that.
Yeah.
At this point.
There might be things that I like about Rogue One more than things I like about Empire, but overall, Empire is just the Star Wars film, earlier Star Wars film.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think, like... Yes, it does. It feels like the natural top of the list, and then Rogue One, which is excellent.
Yep,
and like a very genuine fave.
It just happened that somebody made a Star Wars movie just for me.
Yeah,
hopefully all of you have had that experience with at least one of these 11 films.
You would think.
There must be, at this point, be a Star Wars film for everyone.
Maybe that's what people thought. Maybe that's what the Last Jedi people, the loved the Last Jedi. They were like, finally,
yeah, that was their
Star
movie.
Because
I have a couple friends who love that movie.
God bless.
Like, you know, good for you.
God bless.
I can't instinctively understand where you're coming from, but I'm happy.
Exactly. Like, what a great feeling to feel like you have a Star Wars movie made exactly for you.
Yep.
Yeah. The Last Jedi is just not mine.
Rogue One's mine because everyone dies.
So
We've been Rogue over this One, because it's about civil servants.
Exactly. Rogue One is mine because everyone's very emotional about their collaborative efforts before they die. That's me. Yeah, so I would say Empire, then Rogue One, and then it's just weeds after that. Okay.
Yeah,
so
then you have to really sort through it. The top two are always obvious.
Yeah.
In any kind of ranking.
Yeah.
I think I liked this one more than The Force Awakens.
Mm.
So I would rank it higher than The Force Awakens.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but I have
but
to make that same
decision.
It still
isn't as good as A New Hope.
No.
I love Return of the Jedi. I think that the more times I watch it, the more I'm like, parts of this are kind of corny.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I enjoyed the Ewoks in this film.
I did too.
I mean, if you're going to have action near Endor, they're probably going to be like, this again? This bullshit again.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that they acknowledged that that was the case.
Yeah. Like, finally, get out of here.
So I would probably, and I think A New Hope is better than Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
So
it would. So Empire, Rogue One, A New Hope.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
This is where it gets really hairy.
The difference between rankings. I'm still trying to figure out if I like this one more than The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens is a lot easier, like I said, to like gloss over things because it's like, well, that's a problem for later movies.
Yeah, I feel like everybody had a good time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first film of any trilogy, you can be like, who knows?
Yeah. Plus, yeah. Some of the imagery.
You're more inclined to be charitable.
Some of the imagery in The Force Awakens, like, has stuck with me to this day. Like, the stormtroopers with Finn as, like, one of them, like, in the landing gear. And, like, with the hand on his Ray's introduction with the scavengers. Like, I love a character introduction. I truly love a character introduction in my heart and soul. And for that, and how much I love those three characters, the ways they're introduced in The Force Awakens, like, holds a lot of weight in my heart. I don't know. I might actually give the edge to Force Awakens over this one. But the data, we're still rendering.
Rendering?
Yeah, we're still processing the data.
Compiling?
Yeah. Just sorting through it. I'm not willing to commit to that completely.
I think in terms of overall structure, The Force Awakens is better than Return of the Jedi. But Return of the Jedi has huge emotional impact.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Like, they delivered on that. George Lucas did okay.
Yes.
Or whoever we can assign that to. Hopefully not him.
Yeah, that's
so
a good...
So I would say A New Hope, Return of the Jedi. I would say Rise of Skywalker, then The Force Awakens. I have not hit any of the prequels yet, and that's okay.
Or Solo.
Oh, I forgot about Solo.
Shit. This game is so hard.
Okay. Yeah, because Solo, I think, is a tight film.
Okay.
Like, it's snappy. It has some fun characters. Alden Ehrenreich is doing the most, and a very thankless task. Because nobody can be Harrison Ford.
It is a very thankless task.
And it's, yeah, it's well made.
Okay.
For sure. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially a heist film in space, which, who doesn't love that? No one. Least of all me. Can't resist a heist film.
That's true.
But, yeah, still not as emotionally sound as Jedi. So, we'll say that that lives beneath the full trilogy.
Okay.
And Rogue One.
Okay. Yes. Does it
and then,
rank higher than any of this?
Yeah, I think it's overall better than any of the new ones.
Okay.
The new trilogy.
Okay.
What are we calling this trilogy?
I don't know.
I don't actually know, because obviously, the OT and the prequels are well established.
Is it the new trilogy?
Sure.
We decided, so that's what it's called.
New Force Rules.
New Force Rules.
Yeah. So, and then I would say Rise of Skywalker, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith. It gets easy after this point.
Mm. That middle part's the real sticky part.
Because if you can make arguments for films,
mm-hmm.
they're usually, you know, high up on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Last Jedi.
Yes. There's only two more.
For some reason, I can't think of what the first prequel is called.
This is not where I thought this was going.
You thought I was waffling over whether to attack the clones above the Phantom Menace.
There we go. You got it.
For some reason, I was like, the saga begins. Like, no. That's a Weird Al song. Which, frankly, is at least as good as any of the new trilogy.
Mm.
And should probably be included in my ranking. It's probably probably a better film than the film that it's singing about. Anyway, yes. Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Okay. Alright. Alright, my list. I think, okay, it won't be much different from yours, though. I think Empire at the top, Rogue One, A New Hope. I'm gonna say The Force Awakens. I may change it later. We'll see. I'm gonna say Rise of Skywalker. No, I haven't done Jedi yet. I'll do Jedi after The Force Awakens. Then I'll do Rise of Skywalker. Then Solo. Am I missing one? I only have 10 fingers held up right now. There's only 3 fingers left for the prequels. What have I missed? Oh, The Last Jedi.
Whoops! huge space meridian slip.
That explains that. Honestly, The Last Jedi is probably next, because I don't think I can defensively say that it's better than the prequels and that I enjoyed it more than the prequels. Like, I don't think, or less than the prequels, I don't think I can stand on that leg.
Yeah, so, I could say overall enjoyment of that film is about equal with, like, Revenge of the Sith or The Phantom Menace at the time that I watched The Phantom Menace as a 12-year-old.
Yes. Yeah, so I'll put The Last Jedi in before the prequels. And also, I haven't seen the prequels in a long time, and I haven't seen The Last Jedi since it came out. So, yeah. So I would say The Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. So the tops are the same. The middle's the hard part.
It's the middle boggy ground where you can make arguments.
Exactly. Exactly. That list could change tomorrow. And it does depend on so many different things, like how you felt when you first watched it, or how you feel about it now after you've watched it a lot, or if you've grown up with it, or if you have a different perspective on it now.
Yeah, and what time you watched it is
always
a big one.
Yeah, or if you're looking at it critically, like you said, Solo is a really tight film, and I'm like, that means very little to me in this day and age.
Who is a film major?
I know, it's bad.
However, there are film majors and there are film bros, and I'm a film bro. It's something I just had to accept about myself.
I'm barely even a film major, frankly.
You have a film degree.
I have the paper. But, like...
It's official.
If I sit in a circle with a bunch of film bros or majors, and they're like, have you seen this movie? I'm like, nope. Have you seen Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants? Like, that's...
Actually, I have.
See? It's, well, like...
I read several of the books, too. I don't remember anything about them.
I remember the movie. I like the movie.
Even at the time, I was like, there's no way with the same pair of jeans could fit multiple people.
Well, yes, that's the magic.
It's just fantastical.
Okay, I mean, I guess, sure. Like, if you could have a magic...
Because there's a great joy in finding a pair of jeans that actually fit you as a person.
And then you're like, God, they fit my 3 best friends, too,
who are all shaped differently than me.
Stupid.
No.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
Space magic, sure.
Space magic. There
new
are no,
force rules.
There are no new force rules in the traveling pants. There are no new pants rules.
Oh my god.
The old pants rules will always be canon. I guess that's it.
We saw a Star Wars.
We saw a Star Wars, and then we talked about it for an hour and half an hour, 45 minutes on top of that.
Yeah. It was inevitable.
Exactly.
It was ever thus.
Exactly. And if you came here and wanted to listen to us talk for that long about Star Wars, we appreciate you, especially since we just went on and on about how we don't want to hear other people talk about Star Wars. We recognize the inherent, one could say hypocrisy, I'll just say duality, of those concepts. So we thank you for being here. If you disagreed with us, agreed with us, we're just happy you listened. And if you threw something at whatever device you're listening through, that's okay. Star Wars and let Star Wars. So with that, we'll be back with some Animorphs in the new year, probably. I don't know when I'll get around to posting this, so... if it's before New Year, Happy New Year to all, and we'll see you in 2020. If it is after 2020, I hope you had a good New Year, and we're seeing you now. Until the next Animorphs, have wonderful days.